Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming out tonight for our evening of church fellowship, a time of fellowship that's going to be centered around songs of praise and times of testimony and celebrating communion together. I'm always excited for these nights when they come because they feel like the evenings when my family will all sit around at Christmas time and start telling family stories. There's those times when, sure, the youngest of us will laugh and open up about what's currently going on in the world or in our families, but then there's those other moments when my dad or my mom will open up and tell us a story or a memory from years ago that bring us all back as a family to who we are, what we do, and what we love. And I think we're supposed to look at times of public testimony a lot like that as well, as all of us sitting around as the family of Christ and sharing what's currently going on in our lives as well as what the Lord has done in times past, work that the Lord has done that still shapes who we are, what we do, and what we love. The psalmist actually pictures it just like this in Psalm 71. I'd like you to look there really quick because these are really encouraging verses. Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18. This whole psalm is really a psalm calling us to testify to what the Lord has done in our lives, among others. But Psalm 71, verses 17 through 18 says, "O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me, until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come." I love how the whole spectrum of life is reflected in those two short verses. Brothers and sisters, God has been and is teaching us His wisdom and His ways through His Word, and He's been doing so even from our youth, as the psalmist reminds us of. And I love that call because it reminds us that even the youngest here have something to share. Young believers, there are some wonderful truths that God is teaching you for the very first time. Ancient truths that are freshly dawning just now are starting to grip your heart for the very first time. You're part of the family, and God wants you to share what you've been learning and what God has been teaching you. Remind us what it was for us when we came to know those same truths at the beginning. We're a family, and God wants you to share your story. Brothers and sisters, God has been showing us His wondrous deeds even to today, and we who are in the thick of it should, as the psalmist calls us to, proclaim and keep on proclaiming those deeds of what God is doing. So I think about us who are kind of more in the middle stage of life. So even if you're a parent and you feel like you're getting pulled in a million different directions, God is still graciously, wondrously working in you and in those around you. He's letting you see glimpses of His grace on a daily basis through maybe through the conversation that you have with a child or just a blessed thought that He's given you from His Word. You might be busy. Your thoughts as a parent or someone in the middle stages of life right now might not be the most composed. But you are part of this crazy family that God calls the church, and God wants you to share what He's been doing and what He's been how He's been showing you His wondrous deeds of grace. And finally, brothers and sisters, God has been ever faithful to every single one of us. He has and He will. He has never and He will never forsake us, even to old age and gray hairs, as the psalmist reminds us. He continues to show us day in and day out His sustaining power throughout all generations. This is who our God is, which means even the oldest among us has something to share. God has shown His character in absolute faithfulness to you every single day of your life. He's never been untrue to any of His promises towards you. He has shown Himself to be your everlasting rock throughout all the years. And so listen, you're a part of this family as well. And God wants you to proclaim His might tonight to another generation, your power to all those who come. Remind us through your testimonies of who God is and what He can do so that all generations might bless his name. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to gather together as a church family, and we're just going to have a family time testifying to who God is and what he has done. And so as our two other times that we've done this, our service is going to be very simple tonight. We're going to sing a song together. Then we're going to have a 10-minute time of testimony. And then we're going to do this three times, with each time of song and testimony taking on a slightly different focus. So during our first time of testimony, we're going to focus on Christ being our shepherd. And we're going to share accounts of how God has led us in unique ways throughout our lives. And then during our second time of testimony, we're going to consider Christ as our vine and share testimonies of how he's given us strength and grace to make it through various moments in our life. And then finally, during our third time of testimony, we're going to focus on Christ as our door. And we're going to share testimonies of how Christ saved us and brought us to himself. God has been so good to us every day of our lives. There is not one single believer here tonight who does not have some reason to praise the Lord publicly. And so I'd encourage you to do that as we've gathered together. And then this time of testimony is going to lead right into a celebration of communion together as the conclusion to this evening service. We've got a little special treat. Colby's going to lead the communion time. And for the first time in my life of 14 years as a pastor, I get to serve the communion plates. I don't even know how to do it, but I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be very special to be a part of that. And so we're going to do that this evening as well. And so with that in mind of what we have in front of us tonight, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity we have to gather together this Sunday evening. Father, I just can't help but pause and think about how that first Sunday evening changed. How that Sunday morning when everybody gathered together in the upper room, they were fearful. They were afraid. They thought that death had won. And yet, by Sunday evening, everything had changed. They knew that Christ was alive, that he was victorious over sin and death, and they knew that in Christ there is a newness of life. And Father, we thank you for the testimony of that newness of life that is at work in every one of your children. And Father, I thank you for the call to share your wondrous deeds with each other that we've just heard from Scripture. And help us to do that tonight. Help us to worship you through these songs. Engage our hearts, Father, in the worship of you. And help us to worship you through just giving you a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving tonight as your people, as you've called us to do as well. And so, Father, we just pray that you would honor and glorify yourself in our midst tonight from beginning to end. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this first time of testimonies is focused on the idea of Christ being our good shepherd. Jesus tells us in John 10 that I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And we who have trusted in Jesus Christ can testify to this, that the Lord has led us each and every day of our lives, not only providentially by his grace in the affairs and events of life, but also through his word and through Scripture, showing us his mind and his will and his wisdom. And so we wanted to open up a time of testimony, just directing your hearts and minds to Christ the shepherd, and just share accounts of how he has led you in unique ways through providence and through his word throughout your life. And so we're just going to open this up for testimonies for about 10 minutes. If you have a testimony, raise your hand and we'll have a microphone run to you. And then after about 10 minutes or so, we'll sing our next song.
I'd start out because I only prepared one category, and if we get past this category, I'd have to be talking in the wrong category. But well, let me read this verse. It's Jeremiah 10:23. I know, O Lord, that the way of a man is not in himself, that is not in man who walks to direct his steps. And you know, we know there's a lot of other verses where God directs his steps and man sort of plots his way. You know, James talks about the guy that plans to go to another city, stay for a year, you know, make money and come home. And James says, you know, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I grew up on a farm, and I thought I would farm all my life, and started out that way. And, you know, mid-80s. we weren't broke, but we're working our way there real quick. And I thought, you know, maybe I should find a second job. And so I did. I went to Honda and thought, I won't stay very long. And 31 years later, I left. But, you know, that wasn't my plan. But something interesting happened. 31 years being around people subtly changed me. If you'd known me when I was young, you talk about wallflowers. I was a guy standing behind the wallflower. I was pretty quiet. But I found sometime after many years being with people all day, every day, that I'm comfortable, more comfortable with people. I can walk up to a stranger and have a conversation with no, you know, nervousness. And so I think God had a plan to force me to learn to be comfortable with people. And so I'm a different person today because of that.
The ladies that are on Grace Chapel Gals, you might have already read this, so I apologize if you're hearing it for the second time. When we think about the Lord being our shepherd, we also think how he protects us. And that was really evident to us a couple weeks ago. We were to leave to go to Utah, I think June 26th, and we were all, you know, set to go. The Tuesday before that, the 24th, went out and got the mail like 4:35 in the afternoon, and there's a notice from the water company. You're using 8.5 gallons of water every hour, all day long. And it's like, no, we're not. So it's like, okay, and of course the office closed at 4:30. Couldn't do anything Tuesday. So Wednesday morning, first thing, I'm up calling them as they open. And as I'm waiting for them to open, I hear the central air outside the unit start making this strange noise. And all of this, of course, is Wednesday. We're leaving on Thursday. So we got a hold of the water guy. The night before, we had checked everything. Nothing was running. We had shut off the water to the house at 11 o'clock that night in case it was between the meter and the house. That would help them be able to tell, you know, what was going on. So the water guy came out. We have a water softener that's not even hooked up, but somehow it was had turned on and was letting water just keep running through. He flipped a switch. Problem was solved. Didn't cost us anything. But in the middle of that, being outside checking out the central air, I got stung by a bee. I'm allergic to bees. My face swelled up. It stung me right above my eye. So this is all going on. And then we're trying to deal with the central air. Nobody could come out and look at it. So this is the week that it was like 95 to 98. You know, we're going away for 3 weeks. So we just shut off the air and we'll deal with it when we get home. And, you know, I was getting frustrated, you know. I have this. I'm trying to pack. I'm trying to do laundry, trying to get everything ready to go. Why do you guys all understand this? And, you know, here all these things are going wrong. But as I stopped, I was like, wait a minute. You know, if we hadn't gotten that water notice the day we did, what if they'd put it in our mailbox on Thursday instead of Tuesday? We would have been losing 8.5 gallons of water every hour for 3 weeks. You know, so God prevented what could have been a very expensive bill. The same with the central air. It turned out it was a really simple fix. When we got home, it was a little over $100. It was a loose wire outside. But that loose contact, had that been going, because we probably would have let the air on around 80, because we do have a cat there in the house, you know, that could have caused serious damage to the air unit. I don't know if it could have caused a fire. You know, all these things that could have gone wrong. The bee, I still haven't figured out why that would happen. But, you know, I couldn't take Benadryl because of driving on the trip. But it healed up eventually. But, you know, how God protected us while, you know, what seemed like frustrating things. And then we made it, drove 1,100 miles the first day, 600 miles the second day, got out to Utah, got to hear our son, the one who's had all the health issues, sing the national anthem at their rodeo, which was a concern when he had his surgery in May to remove this lemon-sized tumor in his sinus cavities. They told him they didn't know if he'd be able to sing. And so it was exciting to be there and hear that. On the way home from the rodeo, we pull in their driveway, and my car starts making this horrendous noise. The brake caliper in the rear had locked up. But we drove 1,700 miles without any problem. And my other two boys were able to fix it, and Ben Lindemir checked it over Friday and says everything is still good. So just, we were really thankful, despite everything, how God protected us, what could have been a whole lot worse.
My name is Christy Schlumbaum, and We just returned from Lakeside, Ohio, my family and I, Steve and two grandchildren and two friends of theirs. Anyway, every morning we do a devotional together. We've done this for several years. And so, what?
At Lakeside, yes.
Anyway, this year we went through the Ultimate Question booklet with them. And I think maybe they're beginning to understand why Jesus had to die and their sin, you know. And so anyway, my granddaughter, her dad has been far from the Lord. So to see his daughter being the one to open the Bible and read the verses, and I thought, you know, I think maybe she would do a Bible study with me. I wonder. So I had some people praying for that. And the day I got back, I had opportunity to talk to her, and I said, Caitlin, would you do a Bible study with me? And she said yes, and I'm just so pleased that she'll do that. So, you know, one generation talking to the next generation, when there's one generation in there that will have nothing to do with it. But here comes the granddaughter, and she's eager. So I thank the Lord for that.
So we've been having the kids memorize some of what I would call like the classic Bible passages this year. You know, like trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding type things. And one of them was Psalm 23. They memorized it earlier this year. And shortly after that, I was having a conversation with one of them. They shall remain nameless since they're all here. And it obviously wasn't the two-year-old. And it was at bedtime. And if you're a parent, you know that that's when all the good conversations happen, is at bedtime. And this child struggles a lot with being afraid. And they were asking what heaven and hell was like, and specifically what hell was like. And so I just explained that since God is light, hell is a dark place because God's not there, and it's the absence of God's presence. So it's a dark place. And this little child looked at me and said, like the valley of the shadow of death. And I was like, yes, exactly like that. And we were able to just go directly through Psalm 23 from there. That even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, for those who believe in Christ, you don't have to fear. You fear no evil, for God is with you. His rod and his staff comforts you. And I just thought that was so amazing that, one, that passage was exactly what that child needed, specifically that one. And that his mind was capable of making that connection, one I hadn't even thought to make for him. And two, how incredible God's word is. It's so connected, but yet how simple that even children can understand that God has given it to children. And sometimes we make it out to be so complex, but God says, let the little children come to me. And they are fully capable of understanding. So that was just a really sweet moment of watching God work through the lives of our kids, just through his word.
Our next focus for our time of testimonies is Christ as the vine, as we consider how has he given you strength and endurance in life. Jesus says in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches, apart whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Christ is our life, and he is working in us daily, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And as Philippians 4:13 states, because Christ strengthens us, we can do anything he asks of us. And there have been many times in life when we have been brought to the end of ourselves and God has shown himself to be strong. There have been many times when he has come alongside us through the word or through the throne or through the fellowship of grace and has strengthened us for the task that is set before us and encouraged us in our walk with Christ. And so for this next time of testimony, we'd like you to consider those times as Christ is the vine and share some accounts of how he has strengthened you through certain moments in your life. Again, we're going to do this for about 10 minutes and then we'll sing our next song. And so I want you to consider, how has he proven himself to be the vine and the strength of your life? Let's share some testimonies and then we'll sing. I probably should stand, sorry. So the testimony that I want to give for this section is just, I don't think I'm going to overlap with in a couple of weeks when we talk about our Mexico mission trip, but I think every time there's been a time of testimony, I've talked about how the church has been such an encouragement to my life. Well, here's another one, and I'm going to share another one. We were on our trip to MITC in Mexico, and just that entire time was a reminder of how God uses his church to encourage us, to strengthen us, and to stir us up into love and good works. The testimony first of just the pastors and ministers there in Mexico with the students learning at that seminary and just the zeal in which they engaged in ministry and the service of the Lord was a huge encouragement. But it was also one of those trips where I think I've shared it with a couple of you already, where you come back and it just makes you appreciate your home church all the more. And, you know, just really quickly, just how we were able to travel with, I don't remember how many people, 7 people from our church? Something like that, to MITC, and just, I was greatly encouraged by the fellow members of Grace Chapel at different times and in different ways throughout that week, spiritually. It was just a joy. I remember it was just for a couple of hours before the eventful day on Wednesday or Thursday when I got sick, but talking to Mike and just enjoying just the wisdom that he was sharing in his years of walking with the Lord and his ministry with the Lord was a great encouragement. And spending time with Sean as we were going out into the burning heat in the sugarcane fields and just the conversations we had in the van was just a huge just encouragement. And it was just a reminder of what Scripture says in Philemon, of how when believers gather together and there's true fellowship, we are reminded of all the things we have in common in Christ. And though kind of a laughable illustration of even on the way back, Andy Hoover dragging my fevered carcass through the Texas airport to get home, right? And he's just being so gracious, helping me while I'm just trying to put one foot in front of the other and get back into the States where I can get good medical care. You know, there's so many different stories, and what they were is just little pictures in physical ways of how the church is one of the greatest blessings God has given to us this side of eternity. And so I just think of all those different ways of how I came back from that trip and was just so spiritually encouraged in my walk with God, not only with believers who are in another country, but believers that I get to fellowship with each and every week here at this church. And so I just wanted to share that testimony.
Pastor Zach got me thinking about the local church, and that reminded me about how this very church has grown me and encouraged me in more ways than I can even imagine. I'm an emotional woman, so bear with me. Just thinking about, I've been attending Grace Chapel for about 3 years now, and this church has been one of the greatest blessings to me. I have been encouraged as a wife. I've been encouraged as a believer. I have been challenged when I'm called out with my sin. And I was just telling Colby as I was driving home from church last Sunday, every time I walk through these doors, I feel so spiritually fed, from the worship to the prayer to the scripture reading to the preaching of the word. I am so blessed to be able to grow into Christ's likeness with such an amazing body. And I am just so grateful. Sorry, I'm emotional. That out of all the churches I could have found coming to Ohio, that God brought me here. And it's just such a blessing, and I'm so thankful.
And talking about friends made me think in this church and what it means to me to have so many friends here. And just a couple of weeks ago, I got to go back to Hagerstown, where I was born and raised, and reunite with friends from my church back there, Christian friends that are still friends today. Somehow they're getting old, though. I don't know much how much longer they'll be around. But it was so good to remember the good times we had and the times that they encourage each other and all that goes on. And I will tell you a little story that doesn't have quite to do with friends, if I may, about my trip, though, how the Lord was good. I wanted certain things on this trip, and I especially wanted to visit my old home place in Hagerstown, which was a big park that my grandfather was the caretaker, and I lived there with him and my grandmother for 12 years, and I wanted to go there and have a picnic on Sunday evening and hear the band concert. And in between, we visited all these friends, and we had a good time. But it was raining and pouring. I went to my old church on Sunday morning and saw some that I hadn't already had lunch with. And it was just coming out pretty well, but pouring rain. And it looked like we'd have to call off our Sunday night. But the rain stopped in the afternoon, and the Lord gave me the thing I wanted. It was my birthday party, a little, just six of us eating a picnic at the park. And the rain had stopped, but nobody was there at the park. When we got there, it was like, why is there no one at a park on a Sunday evening that has three playgrounds, three picnic pavilions, two lakes, a museum, a band shell, you know, everything for entertainment on a Sunday night with kids? So we waited, and as we got done the little birthday party, the band shell opened, and we went over to hear the band play, and he announced, I'm glad you're all with us since we're under a tornado watch. We didn't know about that, but the rain kept away until we walked in the door, and no sooner did we get home and in the door than it poured. Mm-hmm. So God bless. But it was so good seeing friends, but it also reminded me that here I've gotten many friends. I have some in Florida when I lived there. There are still some, and again, they're getting old and dying off, but I've made many friends of all ages here, so some are going to be around for a long time. I have little ones, middle-sized, young, teenage, older ones, so they'll probably outlive me. But anyway, these friends have been a blessing. I have one that's a special prayer partner, and I have others that are just always make me feel welcome whenever they see me or they show me love. And that's the way God has strengthened me, by letting that happen. And he's blessed me throughout all of my 88 years. So I thank you all for being my friends and those that have prayed for me and all of that.
So our third time of testimony focus this evening is with Christ as the door, as we remember and we answer the question of how did Christ save you by his grace. Jesus said in John 10, verse 19, I am the door. And if anyone enters by me, he will go in and out and find pasture. Scripture tells us that Jesus is the narrow gate. He is the only way to the Father, the one in whom we find eternal life and rest for our souls. No one comes to the Father but by him. And for each and every one of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ, we have an account of how the Lord caused us to come to know the glory of Jesus Christ through the sharing of the gospel, and how the Lord convicted us of our sins and worked in our hearts to have faith in Christ. And so this is an opportunity where we can fan into flame the fire of our first love as Christ led us to himself. And so what we're going to do for this final time of testimonies, we just want to remember and reflect on Christ being the door to our salvation, and share accounts of how he drew you to himself through repentance and saving faith. Tell us the story again of how Christ has saved you. We're going to do this for about 10 minutes, and then we're going to go right from here into celebrating communion together as a church body. So let's share testimonies of Christ as the door and how he saved us.
This is why I don't share my testimony. But the Lord's not going to let me sit here. And I think I'm kind of marrying abiding and this one together. I believe that abiding in Christ is no other way than to be in the Word of God and to be in intimate relationship with Him in prayer. In the last couple years, I have a group of friends that we chose to get together weekly and study straight through the Word of God, read through the Word of God, I should say. And just even in this past week, we were saying how we want to stop and study out this passage. What does this mean? But then we'll get behind, you know. You got to keep going. But I'm reminded of the sweetness of Psalms 23, knowing who my shepherd is. And I'm reminded that how desperately I need the gospel every single day. I wasn't just saved back in 1979. I need the gospel every single day. And sometimes every moment of every day of my life. So for me, I believe our testimonies is a living testimony that we have on a daily basis, because I'm a pretty wretched person left to myself. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful too for the one another's, as I learn to abide in Christ, and that song my full dependence has to be in Him and Him alone, not my spouse, not my pastor, no one else. But how desperately I need the one another's. A lot what Ellie said, we're not meant to walk this path alone. We're not meant to be an island. And I'm just grateful for this body and for the word that's being taught here.
All right. At risk of spoiling too much of my summer, so I was teaching some classes to largely Hindu background believers on how to be sharing the gospel with. Also, real quick, I got to see a bunch of you this morning. Those of you that I haven't gotten to say hi to yet, hello. Good to see you. Very happy to be back. There we go. Okay, so I was teaching some classes on sharing the gospel with Hindu background believers. Once, pretty much every class, we started with, okay, what is the gospel? So we work through, okay, what is the gospel? And reminding ourselves of that, because I think before we can be sharing it, we need to actually understand it, right? We were on day 6 of a training. This is week 2. And there's this girl named Ronnie, who every day was bringing her brother a joy. And at the end of the 6th class, I was like, yo, by the way, like, if you aren't, like, if you don't, like, actually believe this, like, Pastor Rajeep's, like, right there. Like, just go talk to him a little bit. I didn't think anything of it. But then the next day, Pastor Rajeep's wife was like, yo, by the way, Ronnie's brother, Ajoy, wasn't saved. So, funny enough, actually, in the gospel sharing classes, he actually just became a Christian. Mm-hmm. I think that that's just really wonderful, kind of pulling a bunch of these together of the Lord is going to shepherd people. He's going to gather people to Himself, right? Mm-hmm. And I think He uses whatever means He sees fit, even if it's a gospel sharing class. The other thing, so there was a woman at our church here in Grace Chapel who was texting me while I was gone. I couldn't respond to the text, but I was receiving the text. So it was very encouraging to me. I just wanted to read part of it. So, preaching the gospel to ourselves every day keeps our hearts in check. I have to do this multiple times a day. I am reminded that Christ was on the cross for me and you. He was there to bear my and your sin, my and your curse. He suffered what I and we should suffer. He paid all my and your debt in the brutal death, so those who call on the name of Christ will not suffer in eternity. We are proud, arrogant, and self-righteous when we do things our way and in our own strength. We deserve the death and hell that He humbly paid to rescue us from. He bought us with his own blood in his great mercy and lavish love to rescue us from the pit of hell, because at the foot of the cross it is level ground and we are all found guilty. That is quite humbling. I kneel with you side by side as we daily humble ourselves, remembering who he is and what he has done for us. There is no other God like him. Praise his glorious name. Mm-hmm. Friends, I think that's beautiful, and I think it's right that we continue to be reminding ourselves of the gospel every day. Thanks.
I had the privilege of going to Mexico again this year, and I was really wrestling with whether I was too old. It's my 8th year going down there, and I kind of this year for some reason went back and forth with the idea that my time was playing out. But then I came in the back of the church one Sunday morning, and Gloria told me how old she was, and so I thought, I'm okay. I can keep going. She said I was just a kid, so I need to keep going. So anyway, while I was down there, I got to share a message. And at the end of that, there's a verse that says, in the Lord, all the offspring of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. And it just reminded me, as I was down there watching that ministry, all those young people, preparing them to go back out into the mountains and reach people in far off, difficult villages, I thought about Diane and I, 53 years ago, a young couple in their 20s left Toronto Baptist Seminary and came to a little nowhere place called Millerstown. They brought the gospel. They were there 5 years. Only two people, two rebellious, wayward, sinful, God-rejecting people were brought to the Lord. And then they moved on. And they lamented later that there was only two people saved under their ministry. And I shared with them that those two people were Diane and I. And I was just so thankful for how God sovereignly moves his people to bring all the offspring of Israel. They will be justified and shall glory. And so Diane and I have had the privilege not only here and a couple other churches, but even in Mexico, being a small part of the advance of the gospel. God will build his church, and I just was reminded of that again while I was down there. And what just really encouraged me was to know that as we get closer to the end of our life, there's so many young people behind us carrying the banner, preaching the gospel, moving forward with Christ. And for Christ and for his people. That is a great encouragement to us that have gray hair and little hair. But it's a great encouragement to us. And I really appreciate all the young people here and in Mexico carrying that message.
Likely mine should have been under this shepherd, Jesus as my shepherd. But I want to read from John 10, where Jesus tells us he is the door. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up in any other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice and calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I've been in a Bible study recently, and it's the I am statements. So I just had finished up the one on I Am the Door, Jesus being the door. And in that, the author of the study said she saw an instructor teach children to ski who were visually impaired. And the first couple days, they spent time with their instructor. She told them what it was like to ski, what to expect, and how they would learn. Day three, they took the chairlift up to the head of the mountain, and each skier took a turn with the instructor. So the instructor, placing her skis on the outside of theirs, she guided the students down the slope, and she talked with them the whole time. Right, left, stop, right, left, stop. By talking to them, she helped them tune out the other noises on the slope. Day four, the students went down the slope by themselves, guided by their instructor's voice, who stayed at the top of the slope. Their joy was obvious by the smiles on their faces. In the same way, the skiers had to know the voice of their instructor, the shepherd to know their shepherd's voice, so well that the sheep could pick out his voice and all the other noise. I don't know that I read that right, but the instructor had spent time with those students. They couldn't see what they were doing, and she just guided them all along the way. And so it just was a good example to me of how the voice of my shepherd, I need to spend time with him. I need to be focused on his voice and hear his voice. There's a lot of the distractions. She talked to them, kept guiding them so that they would not get caught up in the noise around them on the slopes. And that's, we have the distractions in this life. I get easily distracted. The noises in the life that I get easily distracted. But it's just a reminder to me that I need to be in the Word of God and following the voice of my shepherd, that he knows my name. It says that he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out and he goes ahead of them and we are to follow him. And we can go in, be saved by entering through him. We will be saved and go in and find pasture. So like Tammy was saying, yes, I was saved years ago, but he saves me every day and he provides and protects for me. And I just thank him for that.
It's quite fitting that after we would celebrate so often tonight, the unity of this church body and the communion we have here together in Jesus Christ, and also just all that Christ has done for us, that we would now partake of the Lord's Supper together and remember what he has done for us in his body and in his blood.